Well, welcome everybody back to the podcast. And as you already know by now, for sure, we are in 12 days of prayer and fasting. And during that, we are pressing into experiencing the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church, as a whole church body, as a whole community of faith. We're learning how to actually experience the presence of God to greater depths and measures. Whether that's in Perth, Australia, whether you are listening from Bangkok, Thailand, whether you are listening from San Francisco or here in sunny or not so sunny Melbourne, whether you're a university student, whether you're a homeschooling parent, whether you are a project team leader at a bank, or maybe you sell and scoop ice cream for a living. I would love that job.
That would be a fun job.
We are looking at answering the question, how am I growing in an awareness of His presence? And on this podcast, each day we are chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in an awareness of the presence of God in their life. And today we have someone joining us. Actually, we have two someones joining us who I'm a bit excited to talk to. We have Pastor Kelsey McDonald, who is our youth, one of our youth and young adults pastors,
yes,
with her husband.
My lovely husband.
And we also have a friend of ours, Sam.
Hello.
And we have Sam because we have we want to really talk about the presence of God today in our work lives, in the secular space, because 99% of the time we probably are not in church, in the church building. We live our life doing all the things and working, most of us, outside of church. That's a lot of our life. So to talk about experiencing the presence of God or becoming more aware of the presence of God just in worship or even just in our own devotional time, oh, there's so much more to experience God's presence outside of that. And the reality is a lot of times we spend that at work.
That's true. Yeah,
exactly. So we want to talk about that. We want to talk about that. And Sam is here. Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, great question. So I work in the public sector.
Awesome.
Around property development. So
great.
A bit of action in public, a bit of action in the private, a lot of involvement with different types of stakeholders.
Awesome. So good.
All Sounds right. fancy.
Sounds fancy. Sounds like something for very smart people. all right. So, Sam, we're going to talk to you in a second. First of all, Kels, I want to ask you a question. And we're asking everybody this question. So I love hearing all the different ways that God moves in people's lives. But we want to ask you, what can you remember? Tell us a little bit about the first time that you became aware of the manifest presence of God.
Yeah. I don't think I could probably tell you a time.
Okay.
Like, I don't think I can remember an exact time. I was like, I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time. And it was overwhelming, like anything like that. But I do remember the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
That was a special day.
Yes.
I got saved in youth ministry. I'd probably been a Christian for maybe a couple of months by that point. And like fresh, like had no idea even who the Holy Spirit was. And
so
they're like, do you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, awesome. Like,
yes.
Let's just give it a try. So that was a really cool moment. But I think my experience of learning and growing in experiencing the manifest presence of God has been a bit of like building blocks.
So good.
And sort of
I love
as
that.
You've gone along. And I guess as you continue to open your heart up to God, it's like, okay, God, like I'm opening my heart a little bit more. And you're like, whoa. He like kind of meets you where you're at.
Yeah.
And then you open a little more and you're like, whoa. Yeah. Like, and you kind of. Just those different, I guess, building blocks of, you know, you feel that sort of quote unquote like Holy Spirit tingles and you're like, oh, that feels cool and different. And, you know, God might actually be real. And then you kind of experience more and more and more.
Yeah.
I do remember the first time I got slain in the Holy Spirit. That was quite a
fun. Tell us about
fun.
That.
I mean, I don't really remember even why or like what we were praying for, but I do remember
that.
I was in youth and I was just so, I'm like, God, I just want to experience whatever, like whatever it looks like. And I remember getting like slain in the Holy Spirit and I was like, wow, like, this is cool. I could still hear everything going on or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe after a little while I opened my eyes and there was like three or four people looking over me. Like it was like a movie scene when you like wake up in hospital or whatever, except it was me waking up on the floor in my youth ministry. And there was like one of my friends and then a leader and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, like I experienced God and they're like, awesome.
Wow.
So that was that's a funny memory. But yeah, I would say it's definitely been like a bit of a slow burn, and I guess just as I've opened my heart up to God more and more, like He's been faithful to meet me where I'm at and
that.
To continue to reveal Himself to me. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, and I just love hearing how, you know, it doesn't look one way. Mm. Like the stories that we've been talking to different people about, God is so personal and He's
so
unique
true.
And He works with all of us. Like He knows our personality. He knows all of our characteristics and He really works with each of us like in that way. with even how he reveals himself and how we learn to experience him more. So cool. So I guess even you were talking about like experiencing God and his manifest presence like within your youth ministry. But I think something, I mean, we've been talking about is like that there is no separation really between the sacred and the secular.
Yeah,
like
true.
We are people who are called to walk in step with the Spirit. We should be, I guess, always aware. We know God is, he is omnipresent, right? So this is like, we know God is everywhere. His name is Emmanuel. It's God with us. We know that to be true. And Pastor Joel Field talked brilliantly about the different ways, I guess, that the presence of God is experienced and manifested. So when we're talking about the manifest presence of God, one thing that I think is really important to talk about is how outside of a church service or a youth ministry night or your morning devotions, we can cultivate a sense of awareness of the presence of God.
Yeah.
Because we know that he's everywhere. We know that he's working everywhere. But to be aware of that, I think requires us to cultivate something with God in that
space.
Yeah,
totally.
So Sam, maybe you can talk to us from your perspective in the workplace with what you do. What has that journey looked like for you?
Yeah, great question. I think you said it perfectly, cultivating.
Yeah,
so
come
for me,
on.
It starts from the get-go. So it starts with my I personally like to do this where I look at my calendar and say, okay, here's what's my to-do list.
Yep.
Here's what meetings are in the diary. Here's what's coming up.
Yes.
Outlining what the challenges are and going to the Holy Spirit first and foremost.
Yes. So, I love that.
God, I need your help here.
Yep.
I need your guidance here. I need your wisdom here.
Yes. Wow.
So from that, I sometimes get, you know, bits of passion, bits of fluidity when it comes to doing the work.
Well,
sometimes I get nothing. But when it comes to the task, I get this point of or prompting to go back to and say, Holy Spirit, did I miss something?
Are you saying something? Sam.
Now? Yeah.
So that's probably one of the most practical ways that I can think of myself.
Wow. So sometimes you experience the presence of God, like as you're doing whatever work component you need to do as like, I guess, like a grace, like a his assistance, that it's like going smoothly and...
Yeah, 100%. So like in seasons where it would normally look like a very stressful period.
Yep.
Relying on this sort of practical method that I've formed with the Holy Spirit has led me to be stress-free and
Sam, that's
producing
awesome.
Work.
Wow.
And be okay. And it's sort of uncommon when the second word because it's task.
Yes.
Versus flowing in with the Holy Spirit.
So good. Have you ever had anyone in your workplace be like, oh, how come you're like so chill or like noticed that about the way you work?
I've been told I work smarter, not harder. So.
Okay. Yeah,
like, you're like, that's all Holy Spirit.
Like, yeah. I'm looking for an answer. Okay, that's good. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's probably cool. the most I can say is like.
Yes. Yeah. That's really cool. I used to work. I mean, I started ministry in 2018. So before that, I worked in the corporate sector for the majority of my work life. And I had a lot of people like random. I remember once I had this random person who was in our office in Sydney and I was in our Melbourne office. And they'd call me for something. And it was like always something really small and didn't seem like needed a call. Like that could have just been an email. And then they'd spend 45 minutes of the 1 hour call talking to me about like their family life and struggles that they were having. And like, I was having like a pastoral conversation, like with this person, like regularly and thinking, why do they do this? Anyway, they ended up changing jobs, leaving the company. And when they were leaving, they kind of gave this goodbye speech. And they came to me afterwards and said like, oh, I'm so grateful for all the calls. Like, and you just seemed a really safe space and you always had a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
You always knew what to say or, you know, had really good advice or whatever. And it was really funny because every time I didn't particularly enjoy these calls and I didn't really want to be on these calls, but every time I would go to hang up, I could feel the presence of the Lord be like, don't leave. Like, I'm here. Don't leave. What is happening right now? So it's funny that sometimes, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm not wise. Like, that's God. Like, that's not me. How it's recognized maybe as something else, but there's a recognition in some way, shape, or form.
Definitely.
Of God in that place working. So good. All right. So let's talk a little bit about fasting because we are in a 12-day fast. And we know that fasting is one way that we're able to, I guess, draw closer to God. And when we seek to draw closer to God, he draws closer to us. So maybe, Kelsey, you can start by sharing a little bit where a season of prayer and fasting has helped you grow in an awareness of the presence of God.
Yeah, I have a bit of a funny answer to this question.
Oh, I love that.
And I actually love, Sam, that you talked about like that word cultivating. I feel like that's going to come off a lot in this podcast.
Yes.
Because I feel like for me, prayer and fasting seasons are often about cultivating that deeper level of knowing with God.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I was kind of thinking about when I saw this question was, you know, I can think of times where I've had seasons of prayer and fasting and being like, whoa, like it feels like God's just right here close to me and it feels so powerful and so like, you know, so holy and rah, 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 like all these things you really go into a prayer and fasting season hoping for. But I've also had other prayer and fasting seasons where it's been like, oh, like, you know, I'm being faithful in this and I'm not necessarily seeing anything change yet. But the beautiful thing about setting that time aside and I guess consecrating it for God is that it allows a space for us to cultivate a greater awareness of knowing who he is and knowing his presence even when not feeling his presence.
Yeah, very good.
And like you can read examples in the Bible where there's, you know, 21 days, 40 days, whatever of fasting and you don't see the breakthrough yet and then right at the end you see the breakthrough. And so it was that cultivating that actually allowed, you know, the, I guess, like transformation, the breakthrough to come. And so I think for me, setting aside those times of prayer and fasting is often helpful for me to first and foremost reset my heart and be like, no, God, I want to actually consecrate myself to you.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, going to the word and even when I'm praying and fasting and I'm hungry and I'm not feeling any difference yet and I'm not sure why, like not allowing myself to get discouraged and not allowing the enemy to get in my ear, but to actually go to the word and go, even when I don't feel your presence, I know you're always with me. You're always dealing with me. I always know I can go to you when I need help. I always know that you are present in my time of need. I always know that I can seek first your kingdom and all else will be added to me.
Yeah.
Like actually having that time of, I guess, disciplining yourself into the cultivating of that deeper relationship with God. So it kind of doesn't really answer your question, but
no, I think it's good.
I think it's sometimes helpful to talk about that too, because I know that especially as a younger Christian, I would get discouraged, you know, on day 3 or 4 when you're like, okay, I'm really getting hungry now.
And then
I'm
they advertise burgers like in
the
and
you're like, oh,
you're
dang
watching it. Holy Spirit.
Or it's like, all my friends are going out. And
yes.
Like, I want to go out, but I don't want to be that friend. I don't know. All of those things that can become distractions and the enemy can kind of get a foothold in.
Yes.
And you can get discouraged and just go, oh, it's fine. I'll try again next time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, sometimes it's, you're not going to feel everything straight away. And you're not going to experience that greater level of the manifest presence of God in that moment. But it's like you could be fasting for a breakthrough coming in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Or you could be fasting for someone else's breakthrough. Like we don't know how God's always working in those spaces. So I think being encouraged and knowing that we don't always know where God's at work in the prayer and fasting,
so
but
true.
He calls us to be consecrated and he calls us to be disciplined in cultivating that deeper level of relationship with him. So
it's so good. And it's interesting when you're talking about feelings, because sometimes I think an awareness of the presence of God can happen like looking back sometimes as well. So like things like an examine prayer where you like assess at the end of the day, okay, where was God that I didn't, like where were you God that I didn't see you? Sometimes like an awareness of his presence is feelings in the moment, but sometimes I can grow in a sense of awareness of his presence through maybe I didn't feel anything for the day, get to the end of the day and I'm like, okay, God, show me where you were that I didn't see you. And he shows you that. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I become aware of your presence, that it was here and I didn't even necessarily see it at the time.
Yeah, and I can imagine that probably happens a lot in a workplace setting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, you set a time aside in the morning or whatever, or your moments during the day, you're like, Holy Spirit, I need you. But then you go into the meeting and you're fully present in the meeting. But then afterwards you're like, God, were you even with me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was in that answer and that answer. And yeah, I can imagine that probably happens a lot. Yeah.
What does that look like, Sam?
It's quite like what you said, like, you know, it's about taking, for me, it's always taking the step back and like removing myself from the situation and in the context of a meeting, in the context of this is the thing that it's in the diary, it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
But taking the time to be and asking the question of God, hey, where are you in this? Is it can take a split second for God to give you an answer.
Yeah,
you take the time to ask the question.
Yes.
That's what he loves the most.
That's really good. So with fasting, is there something, prayer and fasting, is there something that for you, I guess, has been a marker of experiencing the presence of God more?
Yeah, 100%. So I'll share like the first time I properly fasted properly.
Great.
It was a, it came through from a point where I was really frustrated with my life. So, so from personal to career. To,
so good, Sam.
Across the board. As
fasting is a good response to frustration.
Look, it wasn't my response. It was the church's response. Everyone was praying.
That's why we do corporate seasons of prayer and fasting.
I benefited from it so much.
So good. So good.
So I've learned through time that fasting always brings breakthrough in some way, shape, or form.
It's very true.
This season of my life, I was forced into the fasting, and I'm so grateful for it.
Come on.
And I was looking for immediate changes in the natural.
Yeah.
Well, what God actually did was change my heart, first and foremost, as Kelsey was saying.
Wow.
And then I started to see things happen in the natural. It took a little bit of time, but it changed my prayer life too.
Yeah.
So it changed my prayer life to be, God, I need this, I want this, to God, you lead me, God, you guide me, God, you show me the door,
Sam.
You open the door, and you go before me. It changed my perspective, it changed the way I was thinking, it changed my alignment, and the Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, became a reality for me.
Yes.
Wow. Whew, that's good. Yes, I think God does, he loves to give us things and bless us and all of that. But sometimes, I mean, I've just been having some pastoral conversations where we've been talking about unanswered prayer and the tension of that sometimes. And sometimes, like you were saying, it doesn't come in the form that we're necessarily thinking of. So when we're thinking even in prayer fasting and like, okay, I'm going into this believing that I'm going to experience the presence of God more and I'm seeking to experience more of his presence, I feel like there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to kind of maybe undo some of our frameworks of how we think that might look and just let it look like however it looks and just trust him that, like you were saying, in some way, shape or form. I mean, that's his heart. His heart is to commune with us.
Yeah.
But sometimes, yeah, it doesn't look like what we thought it would look like.
So like in my experience, it was actually me wanting something in the natural and then the fruit of what I saw, I didn't see it in the time, but I saw probably in the reflection period after the fasting was that my language had changed, my mind had changed, lies had been broken down. The way that I was thinking about things had changed and it was because there was a realignment and a refocusing back towards the things of God.
He changed, for sometimes when we pray, we ask for God to change a situation or circumstance, but what we don't realize is that he's wanting to change us.
Yeah.
So
makes us realize God's priorities are sometimes different to our own.
Very true. And sometimes even you look back and you think, oh, you know, I didn't really experience the presence of God in any way, shape or form. And then you look at yourself and think, oh, but I am different. Like something God did. Like he was there actively doing something, even though I may not have necessarily felt it in the moment or realized at the time. So good. All right. So for our young adult community, but I think this question is really for any adult community, any adult at all. Why do you think it's important, Sam, to grow in an awareness of the presence of God outside of a Sunday service? Because Kelsey and I have been talking about that. What you say, Kels?
Like spirit junkies.
Spirit junkies. So what do you mean by that? Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think I notice this, or I guess like Thomas and I notice this in young adults, but I feel like it's probably prevalent across all of our communities. Is our beloved brothers and sisters who come on a Sunday or to a prayer meeting or to whatever with totally good intentions of wanting to meet God, and they're shaking, rattling, rolling, experience the presence of God and it's amazing, but then they go into their week and nothing changes. And the reason I say that I dub that a spirit junkie is because I guess Pastor Aaron, me and you have had conversations about how it's really no different to someone in a secular space going and, you know, waiting for the weekend so that they can go and get drunk or go to the clubs or go hang out with whoever, because it's that same, like, you feel
waiting
like
for the weekend.
Yeah, you feel like your week is void and your high comes on the weekend. It's just we're doing that in a church sense.
Drug high, a spiritual high is working.
Yeah. And so it's like people are coming on a Sunday going, oh, my life's miserable and my relationships suck and everything sucks and work sucks and blah, blah, blah. But I'm so glad it's Sunday and I get to come into the presence and get filled up. And we're like, no, like God's heart is that we would get to meet him every day.
Yeah.
And we get to come together in the corporate gathering on a Sunday to see that expressed as the bride. But actually God's heart is more that we would retreat into the secret place every day and in every moment, you know, whether it's in work or, you know, over coffee with friends or whatever. So we get righteously annoyed because there's so much that people are missing because they're, you know, waiting for those weekend moments.
Yeah. And I think that's so much more. Yeah. That's so, it's true of it. It's true for, I think, any age group and any situation, and even being in ministry, to be really honest, like that can totally be a thing as well. It's like, oh, I'm working through the week doing the rosters, like that. Like, I don't think anyone is exempt from that, slipping into some of that mindset of
absolutely,
like, oh, I'm waiting for someone to, like, you know, lead worship so I don't kind of have to lead myself. Even in ministry, like that could be such an easy mindset to slip into. Oh, I'm in church the entire time, so my devotional life is slipping. Like, we know that.
Or so, like, I've spent 2 hours in prayer today just because we had a prayer meeting. It's like, but my heart wasn't engaged for any of that prayer meeting.
And my devotional life for the last month has looked terrible. Okay, let's like, let's get back onto track. So yeah, we've been talking about this concept of kind of like waiting for the weekend and like, having this like spiritual high on the weekend, where God wants us to experience his presence throughout our week.
Yes.
So given that as the backstory, Sam, why do you think that's really like, why do you think it's important?
Oh, look, it's paramount. So I put it in the context of you have your Sundays, you have your midweek discipleship, and I love the structure.
Yes. Yeah.
But when In a workplace setting, when your time commitments change, you lose that time and that ability to go to everything.
Yeah.
So then, if you're relying on that, you start to starve yourself. So that's
Sam.
Why I found in my own time, I need to prioritize time for the things of God. So, reading the Word, praying, meditating on things that He's spoken to me about, prophetically declaring, running to Him when there's things in my spirit that are troubling. Yeah, I found that if I don't have that time, I get hungry. And if I get hungry, if I don't get fed, I can go to different things.
So true.
Sam, mic drop. Yes. Just yes and amen.
Mm.
Yeah, we find if we're not getting, if our hunger, because we're spiritual beings, we have hungers, like we all have hunger, whether we know Christ or we don't know Christ, and we get that hunger fed because it needs to be fed. It just depends on where we're getting that fed.
And I think there's a beauty about having your own space as well, because you learn to, A, feed yourself, but you learn to eat in a way that you can't do in the corporate. Very weird way of saying that.
No, it's perfect.
You learn to, you learn to cook for yourself in a sense.
Ooh, yes. That'll preach.
Yes.
Yeah, so for me, like, I really love going and delving into depths of, like, promises of God, like, declaring the words over my life.
Yes,
and,
Sam.
Like, that's actually the first step of me acting things out in faith and
stepping
out and saying, hey, God, you spoke it, you promised it, now let me see it. And that's it's me putting the onus back on God and saying, hey, God, you promised it.
Yeah.
Let me see it.
Yeah, my responsibility is to pray and to seek you. Your responsibility is the fulfillment of your promises.
Yeah.
So good, Sam. I think sometimes we get to a point where we Uber Eats. We Uber Eats the word. We try and we chase after fire instead of, because we neglect mining our own oil. Like, creating, like we don't want to get in the press. It's, time and whatever else, but we can go to the fire. Yeah, we could talk about that on a whole other episode. Anyway, okay, good. So last thing I want to kind of talk about is, I guess, in your workplace, Sam, what have you felt like the results have been, or what, I guess, I don't know, even you can answer that any way you like, but because results sometimes is an interesting word when we're talking about God, because I think he thinks about success and results in a very different paradigm to us, but maybe outcomes of, I guess, being more aware of his presence in your workplace.
Yeah. To be honest, this is a tricky one to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering on it when you asked the question.
Yeah.
Look, it goes back to what I was saying before about having him at the forefront and actively pursuing him in my life.
Yeah.
And the results or the success factors that you can say that are evident as A, the peace in my life.
Yes, definitely.
And then also the favor upon my life.
Wow.
So having my thoughts aligned brings an attitude of gratitude
yeah.
to the Father, wow. brings an attitude of gratitude in the way that he's provided in my life.
Wow.
And that flows into the way that I speak to people. So my speech to people then goes from, you wrong to be in that sense of like in a work setting where it might be like someone said something and diminished the quality of your work.
Yes.
Or you did something which took a lot of headspace and time and it was thrown out.
But yes.
it's about approaching that situation correctly.
Yeah.
And the other fruit of it is also is in the space of creativity. So
come on.
When I like allow the Holy Spirit and say building something like a model where it's like I need creativity, I can copy something, but there's no innovation in that. So creating something and allowing the Holy Spirit and brings in creativity from the number one problem solver being the Holy Spirit. So that's where the greatest innovation can come.
Wow.
That's where the fruit can really come when we tap into his being and into his knowledge and insight.
Yes.
But I feel like it's on multiple levels of how we treat people, how we can engage stakeholders and everyone, even our colleagues.
Yes, very true. We start to treat them as, I guess, sons and daughters, like brothers and sisters, rather than something that's dispensable. Like, oh, they're just a resource to be used to get something done. We actually hold value of the person because God holds value for them. That alone would change a paradigm or a workplace, like if we just did that in all of our interactions. Mm. It's so unlike the world.
Mm. Yeah. I think like something good to note on is like culture. So a lot of organizations try to drive culture from top down, but the beauty of culture is it can be driven from bottom up.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, even if you are the most junior of the junior, the way you treat people and the way that you talk to people can change an organization, can change a team.
That's so good, Sam. And I think, often we know that we can see if you've been on a team where there's someone who's quite like negative or focuses on like the negative things or is quite heavy, that can shift the atmosphere and the environment into one direction. If you're on a team with someone who's like really positive and, you know, kind and is peaceful about everything, no matter how crazy the situation is and what the deadline looks like, that can shift a whole team dynamic in the complete opposite direction. We actually have so much ability to, invite the manifest presence of God into our workplace in the simplest of ways. And I love what you're saying. Like, you don't have to be the CEO of a company to do that. Like, just if you're, even if you're the most junior one on a team of five, maybe we can challenge people in your workplace. Focusing on like the characteristics of God and inviting his presence into those spaces for you to be a conduit. Like, imagine if the kindness of God was manifest in your team or like the patience of God was manifest in your team. These are like they seem so simple and basic things, but in a workplace, like in the world.
It's a game changer.
It's so different. It's a game changer. Like, even when you're in a queue for something and you're like, oh no, you can go first. People are like, really? Like, you're not going to try and fight me for the first position? Yeah, so maybe we can challenge people in your workplace, wherever that is and whatever that looks like. Just invite you, if you haven't already, to invite the presence of God into your workplace for the day. Maybe even set like an alarm on your phone at midday to pray quickly again wherever you are at your desk or whatever that looks like, and just be aware of his presence and allow him to flow through you, whatever that looks like, peace, patience, kindness, all the good fruits of the Spirit manifest in our workplace. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, Sam, before we wrap up, would you be so kind as to pray for our listeners and for anyone who's working, whatever that work looks like? We want a city and a nation and the nations in every area to be flooded with the presence of God.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that have entered a period of prayer and fasting. Lord, I pray that you would meet us where we're at. I pray that you would shape us, you would form us. And Father, I pray that for everyone in their workplace, Lord Jesus, I pray that your manifest presence would go. I pray you would pour out a spirit, your spirit in double portion, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that colleagues would start to recognize there's something different about what this person carries. And I thank you, Lord, that we can give all glory back to you and point it back. It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. So Father, I thank you for this period, and I thank you for the work that you're doing in this season. We commit it all to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Kels. Thank you so much, thank Sam. It's been a joy. And thank you, all of you, for joining us today. And just want to remind you, if you haven't already jumped on and grabbed the Prayer and Fasting Toolkit, you're going to want to do that. We have a set of prayer practices that you can use in your workplace to grow and cultivate our awareness of the presence of God in those spaces to help you, yeah, do that step by step, as we're saying, to cultivate it. You can grab this toolkit from our website. You can grab it in the show notes. You can grab it from the Gram. You can grab it from the Church Center app. You can grab it wherever you go. And we also want to hear your testimony. We want to know what God is doing in your life. We want to know what prayer practices have been helpful or where you've experienced the presence of God that perhaps you haven't before. So you can DM us on Instagram or you can share with us your testimony via the website at pneuma.church/pray. May God's grace and peace be with you guys, and we will see you tomorrow.
Bye.